The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Friday, March 28th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for being here, and welcome to the weekend. We made it. And speaking of the weekend, if you can tell by the hat we've got on here, the OCIA hat, that's the Oregon Cannabis Industries Association. Brian the Red and I will be traveling down to Eugene, Oregon, just about 100 miles south of here, to participate in a medical marijuana business conference. It's taking place on Sunday and Monday. I'll be presenting there, and we'll be recording video and getting interviews for you to bring back on next week's show. The green rush of marijuana businesses is taking off all over Oregon and Washington and Colorado and many other states, and we'll be bringing you all that business news right here on 420 Radio. All right, for today's show, we have got extended time for a special, epic, personal radical rant today, going out to my buddy, my mentor, the man who actually created this show, Chris Goldstein, who was recently sentenced by the federal court because he was expressing civil disobedience. We'll talk about how he was sentenced, what the conditions are, and why it's such an irony as to him being sentenced. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. Also on today's show, on the Behind the Headlines segment, got time for a short video. It's a little compilation of clips I took of Peachtree Normal Executive Director Sharon Ravert and Dr. Uma Donabalan as they were lobbying at the Georgia State Capitol. So you kind of get a look inside the Capitol. And we talked to them in front of the statue of Jimmy Carter, as a matter of fact, who will be here in Portland this weekend signing books at Powell. So that's kind of interesting. Our own left-wing Larry will be headed up there trying to get an autograph and a picture for us. Also on the show today, we've got our 420 Radio news, and Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton does not know the axiom, if you're in a hole, stop digging. He is continuing to dig himself into a hole over medical marijuana. We'll tell you the latest development as well as the other headlines out there in our 420 Radio news. Plus, today is Rockin' Friday for our Daily Toker Tunes, so Herb Thrasher will be calling in. He's got some music for us and a very special Herb Thrasher Flower Hour live tonight with us all right here in the studio. We'll be talking with Dave Tree from the band Tree, who's going to be calling in from Boston, and we'll be doing a tribute to Odorous Arungus of Guar, who died this week. So be expecting a lot of Guar on tonight's Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We're back with the news right after this.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. simply business. It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today. 420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you're detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Minnesota Governor Mark Dayton is denying he ever told Jessica Hauser to get medical marijuana from street dealers. As we reported yesterday, Hauser and other parents of epileptic children met privately with the governor on March 13th to lobby for a medical marijuana bill. Hauser said, quote, "I told Governor Dayton in great detail our story and our struggles. My optimism quickly turned to dismay when, after hearing my son's story, the governor actually suggested I should just find medical marijuana for my son off the street." End quote. When asked if Hauser's claim was true, Dayton said no, and as reporters asked follow-up questions, he said, quote, "I've said all I'm going to say about medical marijuana. I've issued a statement. I've answered questions. I'm just not going to discuss it further." End quote. Dayton said the issue has been very difficult for him, explaining, quote, "It's very hard to be vilified. It's very hard to be told that I don't care about people and their suffering," end quote. The New Hampshire House has just voted down a legalization bill it had previously passed. In January, the House had become the first state legislative body to vote for legalization by 170 to 162. The law would have allowed the possession and purchase of up to an ounce of marijuana, subject to a $60 wholesale tax. However, the bill could not generate enough support in the House Ways and Means Committee, and the Republican-controlled Senate indicated it would not let the measure get passed. Even if it did pass the Senate, Democratic Governor Maggie Hassan had vowed to veto it. On Wednesday, the House voted again and defeated the bill 192 to 140. Maryland's Senate has just passed a marijuana decriminalization bill for the second year in a row. SB 364 would replace criminal penalties for the possession of up to 10 grams of marijuana with a civil fine of up to $100. The bill was passed by all the Senate Democrats, with seven Republicans crossing the aisle for a 36-8 victory. More than two-thirds of Maryland voters, or 68%, support changing state laws to make possession of small amounts of marijuana a civil offense punishable by a fine of up to $100, according to a survey conducted in September by Public Policy Polling. The House Judiciary Committee will now take up the measure. The country of Uruguay will implement controls on marijuana tighter than anything proposed in Washington and Colorado. In addition to radio frequency tags that can be found in Colorado's seed-to-sale model, Uruguay will be tracing the genetic markers of each government-grown cannabis plant to be able to identify the point of origin of any marijuana seized. Uruguay's drug czar, National Drug Commission President Julio Calzada, explained, quote, "There will be a registration system for the growing clubs and for self-growing. The information about each plant will remain in a database. What we want to know is that what's being planted here isn't leaving the country." End quote.
An Iowa Democratic gubernatorial candidate is attempting a last-hour bid to pass medical marijuana in the state. State Senator Jack Hatch is retooling the whole plant medical marijuana legislation that was declared dead on arrival when no Republicans would sign on in this GOP-controlled state. To attract the support of five Republicans who have signed on to support a medical marijuana research bill, Hatch has modified the bill to only apply to children with epilepsy who could be helped by a non-smoked cannabis extract high in CBD and low in THC. Like bills passed in Utah and Alabama and currently considered elsewhere, desperate parents would have to acquire CBD oil from out of state and risk breaking that state's laws and federal drug trafficking laws to bring the medicine back into Iowa. Las Vegas patients and caregivers turned out to complain about a draft set of regulations for the Nevada's new medical marijuana dispensary system. One of the proposed regulations forbids patients from purchasing marijuana while wearing a hat and sunglasses, something one citizen pointed out would be difficult for glaucoma patients who must shield their eyes from the light. Other complaints included not allowing dispensary owners to refer patients to physicians, requiring three security guards, and keeping cultivation facilities separate from the dispensaries, which would be more costly for medical pot businesses. One patient suggested the city of Las Vegas, Clark County, and the state of Nevada should collaborate to ensure their regulations are all conforming to one another's. As dispensaries open, new patients living within 25 miles are not allowed to grow at home. Patients currently growing within 25 miles of a dispensary must cease growing in the next 2 years. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, March 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. You can also subscribe as a podcast or an RSS news feed. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at Sharon Ravert, the executive director of Peachtree Normal, and Dr. Uma Donabalan, a cannabis therapeutic specialist, as they lobby at the Georgia State Capitol. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com. or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
Hey everybody, Radical Russ here at the Georgia State Capitol. We're in front of the office of Governor Nathan Beal, and I'm here with Sharon Ravert, the executive director of Peachtree Normal, with a very special guest to introduce to Cannabis Community. Take it away, Sharon.
Dr. Uma, say your last name.
Donabalan
is here, and she is going to be talking to our legislators in Georgia about how we need to expand CBD oil to further include other people in the medical marijuana bill in Georgia. That's what we're here doing today. She came to us from Washington State. She's a cannabis therapeutic specialist. She is an MD, and I will let her say a few words to the listening audience.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much.
Northwest and from Portland. The Pacific Northwest is coming here to the South. We're going to help get these laws changed to help more patients, more people, and the state of Georgia itself from these terribly punitive marijuana laws. Sharon, for part of doing that, check out PeachtreeNormal.org and make a donation of support today. Your dollars will go further than you ever imagine. But like 2 years ago, they couldn't even say marijuana in this bill.
Exactly. In 2 years, here we are trying to pass the medical marijuana bill, and it didn't cost a whole lot of money.
You got it. Send it in. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Dr. Newman. It's such a pleasure to meet you.
Just want to leave you guys all with the word that, again, this is not the entrance drug. It is truly the exit drug for pharmaceuticals in our puppies.
Absolutely right. It's got me on the exit. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Senate offices here in the Georgia State Capitol doing what lobbyists do a lot of, and that is wait. It's Dr. Uma and Sharon, and of course Dean and Kelly. There's Dean. Kelly's to the other side of me, and we are sitting here waiting at one of the senator's offices. We have a meeting with him to discuss expanding medical marijuana here in the state of Georgia. So stay tuned.
And these were all children.
We're at the statue of Jimmy Carter here at the Georgia State Capitol, and Sharon and Dr. Uma have just spoken. Who did you speak with? The state senator?
Senator Kurt Thompson.
Kurt Thompson. How did he respond to your requests?
He gave us 5 minutes to start with, and I think we were in there for about 45. So things went really well. He's very open to the discussion, and he asked Dr. Uma here a lot of questions. Got her card, and we're hoping that he will utilize her services and her knowledge.
Dr. Umer, what did you get to tell him?
I was very fortunate and very happy we had the time to talk with him. He was very open and did not rush us, and actually gave us points to ponder on how to get his other colleagues to be educated, and hopefully we will plan to have a survey out so we can see what their knowledge is right now and what we can do to educate him. And we will go forward with this a little bit at a time.
Excellent work. This is lobbying. This is grassroots activism at its best. Dr. Uma and Sharon working here at the Georgia State Capitol, working right there below Jimmy Carter, who actually brought medical marijuana to Georgia. And you guys have gotten a CBD bill that's been gone through. Did you talk a little bit about that and why patients need more than just CBD?
Yes, we did. We talked about that. I think there again, more education needs to be brought about, but it is a starting point, so hopefully much more will come, and I think we will see a lot more information within the next year and more bills that will be promoting not just medical cannabis, but also decriminalization and hopefully legalization and remove this prohibition on cannabis.
Excellent. Sharon, if folks want to help out Peachtree Normal, give them some contact info.
Okay, you can reach us at www.peachtreenormal.org. All of the information's there. You can reach us and contact us at peachtreenormal.org. Or the number is 706-525-9970. We need you. Get involved.
That's right, folks. If they can do it in Georgia, you can do it wherever you're at. Contact normal.org if you'd like to start a chapter. You just need 5 people to get involved. You can do just like Sharon did and make waves at your state house. From the Atlanta State Capitol, I'm Radical Russ. That's Sharon and Dr. Uma. We'll see you later.
Thank you.
Aw, yeah, so proud of Sharon Ravert and Dr. Uma down there making waves in Georgia. Got Brian the Red here. We got our OCIA hats on. We're ready for our 20 after break. What do you say?
I say let's fire it up.
Fire that boy up.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Still don't get it, do you? All right, let me make this as clear as I possibly can. This is your brain. This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
All right, love it when we make it to the weekend, and it's nice this weekend. Unlike the last two, I'm actually here for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour tonight, and we got Herb Thrasher on the line to tell us all about it. How you doing, Herb?
Oh, man, we're doing great. And, yeah, Russ Belville always on the road. Seems like you got to stay in Portland tonight, and we're going to rock and talk guar tonight, man. Sad news, Dave Brocky, lead singer, Otis Rungus of guar, passed away this week, and we're going to celebrate the existence of guar and all of the great tunes and what they stood about, kind of explain, because there was so much to guar. It wasn't just one thing, and we're just going to talk and break that down. Also, Pantera, huge heavy metal warriors through the time, have a 20-year album out, and so we're going to talk about that also. Look forward to a great night tonight at 8 o'clock right here on 420radio.org, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour.
And don't we have a special guest from Boston?
We do, man. Dave Tree from Tree. Real excited about that. I can't even believe I forgot about this. But Dave Tree, this guy, man, has actually been to guar's compound, man. Dave Brocky, I mean, he loved Tree back in the 2000s. If guar, if you break down guar's music, really they had a punk vibe and you know, hardcore straight out of punk, and so there was a vibe there, and they're both on the East Coast, and Guar would always have a Guar barbecue every year and invite bands to play. It was for the fans. Fans would be able to come, meet Guar, hang out, have a party over the weekend, and Tree actually played that too. So our guest, Dave Tree from Boston's Tree, is going to join us tonight, and I'm really looking forward to getting some stories. He actually tried on one of their suits, so real excited to hear about that and hear how great it smelt.
Yeah, I can only imagine, man. That's going to be pretty awful. Dude, it's like, it wasn't too long ago that we were doing a show for Corey Smoot, wasn't it?
It was. Back in 2011, Corey Smoot, lead guitarist of Guar, unfortunately, Flatus Maximus, they were on tour in Canada, and he actually passed away, had some health complications, and it was just a tragic thing. So Guar finally had kind of rebounded from that, enlisted a guitarist from Cannabis Corpse and got him in there, and basically was about to get fired up for a lot of European festivals. And unfortunately, I don't know what happened. So I'm not even going to speculate at this point. There is some rumors going on up there, and we'll talk about that tonight.
All right, and then let's get to some good news here, because I understand there's a Metal Olympics going on.
Yeah, man, Portland, man, I love, you know, one of the things about the Northwest is so much great music all through the years. And Portland these days are really riding on top at the same time. And being a great music city, they always have things going on. And one of the things that's been going on here since late January is the Portland Winter Metal Olympics. And it's a great gig, man. It's been held at the White Owl. And basically, every Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday night or something, there's been different weeks, but this week it's going to be tomorrow night on Saturday night for the finals, the championships. And three bands are in the championship tomorrow night for the Portland Winter Metal Olympics, and that is Disenchanter, Satyrius, and Zaraxagil. And excited for all three of those bands. Wish you guys all luck. Real excited for what they've been doing. I actually went down a couple weeks ago and watched a semifinal round with Disenchanter against Elephant Gun, and Disenchanter ended up winning. It's a great thing. They actually have judges. They had somebody from the Mercury magazine there from here in Portland, and somebody from Mel Bolin or something, and they get up there and they actually give points, and they score, and they give critiques of the bands, and it's just a great thing. So many fans came out, and I expect a full house tomorrow night. So that is at the White Owl here in Portland, Oregon. Tomorrow night, bands start around 10. I would get there around 9 so you can start getting your feel and the groove on, and we'll find a championship. But today, right here on Rockin' Friday, we're going to play one of those bands, and that's a local band, Disenchanter. Great band, real doomy, man. You can tell they come from the Black Sabbath vibe, but they bring this this fantasy kind of sci-fi feel to the art and the tunes with the music, and it definitely stoner rock, definitely stoner doom, have heavy riffs, and Joey, the bass player, is just a monster. He just owns the stage, tears it up, and Sabine, guitar player and singer, and Jay on drums are just got a really good vibe going. This album right here is called Back to Earth. They have two EPs out, Back to Earth and On Through the Portals. And this tune right here we're about to hear is called I'm Alive. And you can go to their Bandcamp page, and you can definitely listen to both of these albums and purchase both of them. Both of them are for free. Basically, it's name your price. And we always recommend 420. We think 420 is a great price for those. And a lot of you guys definitely supported Black Hell Oil a couple weeks ago when they had them on the show and went and paid that 420 price. And we definitely appreciate you guys supporting these bands on here and what we do, because, you know, without the bands, I mean, Russ, you'd just be listening to Russ all the damn time, and how boring would that be? And then I wouldn't even have a show. And so, you know, we definitely support the band. So get out there and support all of them. Go to their Bandcamp pages. Go to their Facebook pages and like them. And this right here is Disenchanter with I'm Alive. See you guys tonight, Herb Pastor Flower Hour, 8 p.m., right here on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Toker Talk Radio, starring Russ Belville from Portland, Oregon. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org. I paid
my dues. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana. We are the champions. We
are the champions. You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
The feds don't go after you for smoking a joint unless you smoke it at the Liberty Bell. I want to read to you a quote from the White House Deputy Press Secretary, a fellow by the name of Josh Earnest. Interesting name for a press secretary, Earnest. August 22nd, 2013, when he said, quote, "The president and the administration believe that targeting individual marijuana users is not the best allocation of federal law enforcement resources," end quote. Well, apparently the U.S. attorney in the Western District of Pennsylvania did not, or Eastern District of Pennsylvania, I guess it would be, did not get this memo, because a friend of mine by the name of Chris Goldstein, has just been sentenced to 2 years of probation with regular drug testing and a $3,000 fine for smoking a joint. Now, this sort of thing happens to cannabis consumers everywhere, except Washington and Colorado now, but rarely does it come at the hands of federal authorities. Now, Chris is a phenomenal marijuana activist and largely responsible for creating the job I have today as a marijuana legalization talk radio host. I met Chris when he was producing Normal's podcast, The Daily Audio Stash. He'd also been active with Philly Normal and New Jersey Normal and was helping to promote various reforms from medical marijuana bills in Harrisburg to decriminalization in Philadelphia. In fact, he's done more local media promoting reform in New Jersey and Pennsylvania than I could possibly count. And lately, he's been working with comedian N.A. Poe and producing a rally called Smoke Down Prohibition. And they take place at Independence Park, which is the home of the Liberty Bell. Now, the first few rallies they had culminated with an expression of civil disobedience as protesters, including Poe and Goldstein. Every time I see it in print, I want to say Goldstein. Goldstein lit up joints at 4:20 p.m. The Liberty Bell site is federal park property, but over the first few rallies, the park police didn't pay much attention to the toking. But eventually, the park police issued Chris a citation, leading to Chris's conviction in federal court and sentencing just yesterday. Now, the fines, probation, and drug testing are awful. I'm really glad that Chris isn't behind bars. However, one aspect of Chris's probation troubles me. I mean, aside from the usual punishment for weed is stupid, period, reason. Another part of his probation states that he is barred from being within 100 feet of the 40-acre Independence National Historic Park, quote, in connection with any meeting, event, group, gathering, or demonstration of which the purpose is to advocate or commit a criminal act, end quote. Basically, Chris has just been sentenced to shut the fuck up about marijuana legalization anywhere near the Liberty Bell. The Liberty Bell! Jesus! Do you know what the Liberty Bell signifies in American history? Well, folks, I know our public school system is none too good these days, so I decided I would take it upon myself to help educate us a little bit about what the federal government has just done in the name of silencing a dissenter to marijuana prohibition. Of course, the Liberty Bell March will be appropriate, which a lot of people know as the Little Monty Python song, but it's actually the Liberty Bell March. Now, the Liberty Bell was forged in 1751, and the reason it was forged was to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Pennsylvania Charter of Privileges from 28 October of 1701, when Governor William Penn, a devout man, a Christian man, wrote, because no people can be truly happy, though under the greatest enjoyment of civil liberties, if abridged of the freedom of their consciences as to their religious profession and worship, that no person shall in any case molested or prejudiced because of his or their conscientious persuasion or practice, nor be compelled to frequent or maintain any religious worship, place, or ministry contrary to his or their mind, or to do or suffer any other act or thing contrary to their religious persuasion, that all criminals shall have the same privileges as witnesses and counsel for their prosecutors, that no person or person shall or may at any time hereafter be obliged to answer any complaint, matter, or thing whatsoever relating to property before the governor and council or in any other place, but in an ordinary course of justice, where appeals thereunto shall be hereafter by law appointed. But because happiness of mankind depends so much upon enjoying of liberty of their consciousness as aforesaid, I do hereby solemnly declare, promise, and grant for me, my heirs, and assigns that the first article of this charter, relating to liberty of conscience, and every part and clause therein, according to the true intent and meaning thereof, shall be kept and remain, without any alteration, inviolably, forever. So William Penn wrote that in 1701, and in 1751, the Pennsylvania Assembly ordered the commission of a bell to commemorate the 50th anniversary of this Charter of Privileges, the original Constitution of the State of Pennsylvania. Written upon that, inscribed upon the bell itself, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof, Leviticus 25:10. Yes, the Liberty Bell is inscribed with a biblical scripture, Leviticus 25:10, which in its entirety reads, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. The Liberty Bell then achieved an iconic status. Legend has it was rang on 1776 to declare the Second Continental Congress had adopted a declaration of independence. But before that, it was rung
for the First Continental Congress at 1774, the Battle of Lexington and Concord in 1775. In 1777, when the British occupied Philadelphia, the bell had been hidden in the basement of the Zion Reformed Church in Allentown. That's how much this Liberty Bell signifies the birth of American democracy and the establishment of justice and the seeking of liberty throughout all the land and all inhabitants thereof. But it continued to be used throughout American history, continued to be used as a symbol against oppression. In the 1830s, as the abolitionists were trying to fight the barbarous practice of American slavery and bring the words of the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, to reality, they adopted the Liberty Bell as their icon. It was first used in an 1837 edition of an anti-slavery society pamphlet by the New York Anti-Slavery Society called Liberty. And these people, the Liberty Bell, got its name through an abolitionist poem that was written about it before it was actually just called the State House Bell. And that poem, the Liberty Bell, reads as follows. Ring loud that hallowed bell, ring it long, ring it long. Through the wide world let it tell that freedom's strong. That the whole world shall be free, that mighty crowd, that the proud shall bend the knee, the haughty proud. Ring, ring the mighty bell, in the storm, brothers, it shall herald well fair freedom's form. Ring it southward till its voice for slavery toll, and freedom's wakening touch rejoice both limb and soul. Ring it o'er the Negro's grave, ring it deep, its tones are sacred to the slave in freedom's sleep. Ring it till its startling tones thrill young and old, till despots tremble on their thrones and their blood run cold. Ring it till the slave be free, wherever chained, till universal liberty for aye be gained. Ring it till the young arise, to freedom's fight, spring gladly toward the kindling skies, all clothed in light. Ring it till the bonds of sect be torn away, till every man as God's elect kneel down to pray. Ring it till world have heard and felt at length, till every living soul be stirred and clothed with strength. The Liberty Bell by H.R.H. Moore from William Lloyd Garrison's anti-slavery publication, The Liberator. The first recorded instance in which the bell was called the Liberty Bell, and it was taken by the abolitionist and used as a symbol to proclaim liberty from that Leviticus 25:10 inscribed on the bell. They took that passage to mean that all slaves and prisoners should be freed every 50 years. But now my friend Chris is under probation and banned from being near this symbol of liberty for standing up and protesting for liberty. After the Civil War, the Liberty Bell also became a symbol of reconciliation between the defeated South and the North. It traveled across the country, and throughout the 1880s, it traveled through many cities, inspiring liberty and inspiring the cause of freedom. Many of those pictures that I was showing earlier on the web screen from a 1915 journey across the United States. It became a symbol of liberty that we fought around and used to bring us together over the issues of first declaring our independence from the British, from next trying to live up to our ideal that all men are created equal. And then in the 1910s, it became a symbol that was appropriated by the suffragist movement, the women fighting for their right to vote, that not only should all men, males, be created equal, but women should have those rights as well. They forged a replica of the Liberty Bell that was called the Justice Bell. And the Justice Bell was financed by a Pennsylvania suffragist. It was built in 1915. And the only difference it had is it didn't have a crack, and it had also inscripted on it, Established Justice. It was a 2,000-pound bell that toured 5,000 miles in a flatbed truck, appearing at events in Chicago and Washington, D.C. to promote women's rights to vote. The clapper of the bell was chained into silence
and the silence of the bell representing the silence of women who did not have a say in their government. And they vowed to tour with this bell and to raise the issue of women's suffrage, and they would not unchain that clapper until women had secured their right to vote. And then in September of 1920, the 19th Amendment is passed. The clapper was unchained. The bell was raised and rung by a woman dressed as Justice, signaling true liberty for women in the United States, their suffrage rights. And that Justice bell is still now in the Washington Memorial Chapel at Valley Forge. So we have this symbol of our liberty that was forged in 1751 in honor of the freedom of conscience. It was rung in 1776 to proclaim the independence of our nation. It was named the Liberty Bell by abolitionists who used it as a symbol of eradicating slavery in the 1800s. It toured the country in the 1900s to protest for the women's right to vote. But now in the 2000s, when we are fighting against this abomination of a drug war, against this new Jim Crow that has more black men under correctional supervision today than were slaves in the 1850s, this terrible drug war that disproportionately affects women by forcing them either to become single heads of households. 1 in 9 black children are growing up today in a single parent household because of a parent that's incarcerated at this point. 1 in 28 children of any race, all races, 1 in 28 kids has a parent in prison. And we have the largest prison population in the world. And when Chris Goldstein stands at the Liberty Bell to smoke a joint there, it is not an expression of just trying to get high. Trust me, I've hung with Chris Goldstein. We can get high anywhere we want. This is a true First Amendment expression of liberty, exactly what that Liberty Bell was meant to signify. It was a protest meant to end the slavery that people end up with when they have a drug conviction. Enslaved to second-class citizen status, more difficult to get jobs, and able to be legally discriminated against because of that drug record. It was a stand for suffrage when so many drug criminals in so many states, especially across the South, are denied their right to vote when they get that drug conviction. This act of smoking a joint at the Liberty Bell, in open defiance of the federal mandates against it, is such an act of political courage and such an act of a patriot that it is truly showing the bankruptcy of the federal government's position that they would waste the time and the money and the effort necessary to try to crack down on this, to try to punish Chris for this. They think 2 years of probation and a $3,000 fine is going to get him to change his mind about the need for liberty, about the need to end this senseless, needless, cruel, unjust prohibition of cannabis that the founding fathers that heard the rings of that Liberty Bell grew themselves and probably smoked? Who is it that we are trying to defend here? The founding fathers? I mean, you think they would have been upset about this? This administration says it doesn't want to waste limited federal resources going after individuals who smoke pot, yet we taxpayers paid for the court, we taxpayers paid for the processing time, and we're going to be paying for Chris Goldstein's whiz quizzes for the next 2 years, and we're going to be paying the probation of his salary, probation officer's salary for the next couple of years. And meanwhile, not a single banker who devastated our economy has faced a federal judge. This is not the justice, this is not the liberty, this is not the freedom that this country was founded upon, and it's not the freedom that the Liberty Bell stands for. I don't know how else to express my dismay at this, and I know, again, it could be worse. He didn't get prison time. But if they think they're accomplishing anything by trying to silence another activist, all of they have done is inspired 100 more. I recall the case of Bob Newland, I believe his name was, in South Dakota when I was first starting my work with Normal, a South Dakota medical marijuana activist who got busted. and the judge sentenced him as part of his probation to not publicly advocate on behalf of the cause of medical marijuana. And I remember people writing to me and asking me, Russ, they can't do that. They can't do that, can they? Well, in the case of when you break a law, yeah, there's a lot that they can do. There's a lot of leeway that a judge has in sentencing you to probation. So Chris getting just regular drug tests and a $3,000 fine may not be the worst thing that could have happened, but it so far exceeds what the typical punishment for that so-called crime is. Usually park police will give you a ticket, confiscate the weed, and send you on your way. This prosecution is clearly politically motivated, clearly by U.S. attorneys that are offended on a moral level, not on a legal level, but a moral level of the message that is being promoted at the smoke down prohibition rallies that are held at the Liberty Bell regularly. This is one of the things I'm most proud of any activist ever for doing. And I applaud Chris and I applaud NAPO for getting involved like this and putting their money where their mouth is. And we will keep you posted on what happens in this case. And we are going to get Chris and NA on the show very soon to talk more about it. And we're going to leave you now, this time with the Liberty Bell March, and let you think just a little bit about what we're talking about here. This isn't just about getting high. It's only tangentially about getting high. It's about our freedom. And today, we salute Chris Goldstein for standing up for our freedom.